Welcome, everybody, to Ed and Ken's mini podcast. Ken, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Ed. You wouldn't know it. I'm in a new office, but I painted it the exact same color as my old office.
I love it, man. It looks great.
Creature habit.
We're going to bring the passion today, and it's just ironic that the 4th of July is a few days away. And we got a hot topic today, man. Let's talk stories of first generation home ownership. I know I have a couple stories. I know you have some, but like, let's bring the passion, man. This is, and thanks for bringing this up, because there's just so much juice in what we do that even people in our own industry don't experience it or see it or feel it. And most consumers definitely don't. But let's just rock and roll, man. Let's tell some stories about that in our careers here.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. And I think that, you know, this industry, sometimes people forget. They forget what value they're bringing to other people's lives and society. I mean, I said it earlier, you know, people say, oh, buying your house is the biggest financial decision you'll ever make. And that's probably true. But I also, it's one of the most important decisions you're ever going to make. And, you know, I had this first generation home buyer. And this was probably about a third of my way into my career. I wasn't a brand new loan officer, but I also wasn't where I am today. And it was one of the most moving settlements I had ever been to. And as I sat with this borrower, you know, he was so grateful and so happy to be making this step. And he shared with me an interesting comment. He said that, what you don't understand, Ken, is that the people in my world don't understand this. They think that they don't think about doing stuff like this. In fact, I can't even tell my friends I'm doing this because they would try and bring me down. And I thought, I was like blown back, like, really? But the truth of the matter is that, you know, there are a lot of first generation home buyers that are trying to break a generational cycle. You know, some of them are coming from countries where this was not an option, right? And some of them are coming from, you know, family backgrounds where this was never discussed, never, you know, even thought of. And it was just a pretty powerful moment to remind myself, and I remind our listeners, especially the agents and the loan officers out there, the purpose of home ownership, the benefit of home ownership is responsibility. And I was listening to a really cool podcast, friend of ours, Jay Duran, who you know, interviewed Jordan Peterson at an industry event a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about how important responsibility is to purpose. And the folks that are out there without responsibility, without accountability, without home ownership, in a lot of ways, that's that first big responsibility. They don't have purpose. And you had shared, what was your story? Tell me your story about home ownership, because I think they tie together pretty well.
Yeah. A couple who were newly sober, newly clean and sober, in their 40s, late 40s, never owned a house. And the way it happened was talking after a 12-step meeting. And I remember the dude saying, you know, man, I've been paying rent all my life. I never see myself buying a house. And I said, hey, let's just take the first step. Let's see. If you qualify, you want to do that? I'll make sure you don't get hurt. You're not agreeing to anything. Anyway, they ended up buying their first house, settling like, you know, 45 days later. And I remember them at settlement looking at each other, like thinking, like, it wasn't long ago we were in a crack house together. Like holding on for dear life, trying not to overdose and die. And now they're clean, they're sober, they had a baby.
Wow.
And they're settling on a house. It's just like, it's those moments. It's like this, that changes the trajectory of their family tree forever. Forever. And yes, there's that crab in the bucket theory. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yep.
Right? Pull you back down. Well, these two, they were like, yeah, we're just tell us what to do, man. Tell us what to do. We trust you. We know you'll keep us safe.
And that's what they need, because if they rely on the people around them, there's an old saying, your best thinking got you here, right? And that's when you're the people that you're coaching and you're working with, like, and they're really like locked, they're stuck. And it's because they need that outside perspective, because if it was just up to them, well, it was up to them and this is where they're at, right? So now they need you to help unblock a lot of things. And it's the same with the people you surround yourself with. And this extends past homeownership. It also extends into business as an agent, as a loan officer. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because in both of these examples of homeownership, neither one of them could rely on the people around them to help facilitate, build them up, even cheer them on. That's not... If you have someone nearby that cheers you on, that should be on the top of your gratitude list every single day, because not everybody has that, right? But we talk, so kind of coming into the business side of it, who you surround yourself with matters a lot because of that crab in the bucket. Explain the crab in the bucket theory again, because I don't want to gloss over it.
Yeah, sure. So you've got a bunch of crabs in a bucket. And there's one crab that's like, I'm going to get out of here. And if it starts crawling up the bucket, the other crabs will grab a hold of it and pull it back down. They want everyone to stay in basically misery.
If I can't go, you can't go.
That's it. And sometimes I heard this explained. It was so great. He's a Westchester PA guy, Jimmy the Butcher Smith. He was a top income earner in a network marketing company.
Sounds like a mobster, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, he was a butcher. He went from being a butcher to a multimillionaire, with this company, Isagenics. But at the time, he's pulling in $50,000 a week in income. And he still has family members going like, hey, when are you going to get a real job? Hey, when are you, still doing that pyramid thing? Right. And whether you like that kind of industry or not, it's besides the point. Here's a guy that Southwest Philly guy that made a decision. The thing is making a decision. Decide, make the decision and changed his family tree forever. And he said something, I'm on a rant now. He said, Eddie, when I was broke, when I was broke, I drove a Mercedes. Now that I'm wealthy, I drive a Honda. It's the nicest Honda. Isn't that great?
That is great. Yeah. And a lot of people are like that. I mean, that could be a whole show in and of itself. Like, the broke mindset doesn't necessarily, the materialistic mindset and the broke mindset often go hand in hand. People overspend on stupid shit because of a scarcity perception, right? They're afraid people are gonna uncover or realize how little they actually have, so they go out there and they spend irresponsibly. That's a whole topic in and of itself, right there. Maybe next week. But so you're a real estate agent. How do you spot? Here's an important question. How do you spot the people around you that you need to bring closer? How do you spot someone who's cheering you on? Because everyone has a lot of people have masks. You think they're your friend. You think they're rooting for you, but really they're like kind of hoping you stumble a little bit. That happens. Mm-hmm. Who do you choose to surround yourself with? I know you got this amazing tribe, but like as a real estate agent, if I'm a real estate agent, what are the things I'm looking for the people I'm going to surround myself with?
It's very simple. The people that challenge me. So what that looks like is, and it doesn't feel good, by the way. Like it's nice to have people going, great job. Oh my God, Ed, you inspire me. I want to be around the people that go, Show me your P&L. Show me your blood work. Because that's where the truth lies. Let's go work out together. Right? That's who I want to hang out with. I want to hang out with the Navy SEALs in life. And I always say the key to fitness, work out with somebody 30 years younger than you that's fit and just try to keep up with them. That's it. That's it.
Oh, crap. Okay. And you try to chase a 17-year-old up a hill.
Yeah. More importantly, it is who you got to cut out. And it's not fun, but man, it's
cut out. You mean cut out? There's people that you need to identify and you need to cut,
disassociate with. And I believe I'm doing them a favor because I actually just did a rant on this Facebook Live that real estate, and I'm sure the mortgage business is the same. It's the breeding ground of mediocrity.
Yes.
Breeding ground of mediocrity. And what happens is all the crabs get together in the call center and they're all coaching each other. Right? I get this all the time. Hey, Ed, this was my rant. I'm thinking of starting a team and I'm going to partner up with Mary Jo because she's really good. And I'm like, between the two of you, you didn't sell 4 homes in the last year. That's not a good idea. In fact, that's the worst idea I ever heard in my life. Right? But you get all the crabs back in the call center bickering. Nobody's doing anything, man. That's why, again, with what we do, I don't want to hear the stories. Show me your pending settlements.
Right.
30, 60, 90. That's the
first show me your results, then show me your habits. And then that, you know, that's kind of the precursor. Like, I want to surround myself with, you know, shout out to my boy Fred Lahm and my boy Brett Shapiro, who and Brandon Park, who are out there putting up the numbers, right? Putting up the numbers, good human beings, putting up the numbers so that, because I want to say, okay, now what are your habits? What are areas? We're at the nuanced part of our career now. Right. And when you get to a certain point, now it's like, don't teach me how to be a loan officer. What are the minor things I should be tweaking right now to level up? And sometimes when you get to this point, it's just like a professional athlete, right? Like they're in the cage and they're batting and everything, you know, 99.9% of their swing is the same, but they get a little, you know, maybe they loosen their hands up. Like that's the one small change they make. That's the nuanced part of the profession. I think we're, you know, when you surround yourself with experts and with solid producers, and you can ask, you know, kind of seek out their nuances. I also think that you should avoid anyone that complains habitually. That's probably the telltale sign of someone who you don't want to be around. And there are some really nice people that bad things happen to, and it's not lost on me that tragedy exists, but boy, are there people out there that are looking for reasons to complain.
You know who I want to hang out with? You've probably heard this story. I believe it's a true story. Construction worker falls off like 5 stories, right? Lands on the ground, breaks everything. He can barely breathe. He's barely alive. They're rolling him into the operating room and they say, are you allergic to anything? And with every ounce of energy, he says, yeah, gravity.
humor, levity.
You know, like bad shit happens to all of us, man.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I forget, he's a Navy SEAL guy, crazy long beard. But he said, the day you accept that life isn't easy, everything gets easier. Everything gets easier. The day you accept that life isn't easy, everything gets easy.
Sounds like a stoic.
And it's just a game, man. It's like a game. Let's go.
It is a game. And you know what? Struggle is, I think we've talked about this, you know, the 5 human needs. You know, you need to, you know, somewhere in there, and I don't remember the five off the top of my head, but I'm sure you remember them, struggle, right? Like you need uncertainty. You need conflict. You need and I think that what ends up happening is, because struggle is something that is a human experience, something that we all have to have, like even when things are going good, sometimes people go out of the way to find struggle, find things that are wrong, the best way to avoid all that obviously is get into that place of gratitude. And when people are complaining, you tell how to separate yourself from someone. If they're complaining and you try and show them something to be grateful for, and they actually get annoyed with you, that's a telltale sign that maybe that's somebody you want to distance yourself from.
Yeah, I think, in fact, I might post this on so I know who to unfriend. If I were to ask someone what news station they listen to, and they give me any answer. I'm like, we're done. Like, that's such a waste of time and energy. And like,
so if you don't watch the news, then how do you know what's going on in New York?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. We got to leave that one.
How I know? Because the lunatic friends that are in the bottom of the crab bucket.
Yes.
Send me 5,000 direct messages a day. Did you see this? You have to read this. Did you hear what he, she, they said? It's like,
yeah.
I gotta close a couple deals, recruit a couple agents, get a couple mortgages. Then I gotta go to the beach and hopefully hang out with somebody, preferably a female in a bikini. That's what I want to do. That's my news station of the day, right? Who used to say it? One of the gurus. Jim, was it Jim Rohn? Believe me, if it gets bad enough, you'll see it coming.
Right? Yeah, right? That's true. My Dave Stinson, one of my first referral partners in the business, he's been around a while. Let's put that guy still puts a suit and tie on every day. Mad respect. He's an OG. I love that guy. And we would talk and we would have lunch and my favorite line of him was always, "Kenny boy, doesn't matter. I got to get up for work tomorrow." And it was like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter. Philly's lost it. I got to get up for work tomorrow. Like the world's coming to an end. Well, if the world's coming to an end, you don't have to get up to work tomorrow. Then everything changes.
Dude, I had to wear a bulletproof vest for about 2 weeks a few years ago when the Eagles lost. Who did they lose in the Super
Bowl? Chiefs.
The Chiefs. So that was on a Sunday. On a Wednesday, I posted, if you are still sulking because the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, you need to get a life. Dude, I've never had my life threatened so much.
You touched the nerve there, I bet.
Do you think those guys are going like, oh, wow. They're just like, yeah, I just cashed another $10 million check because we lost the Super Bowl. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. That's my thing. Live at the highest level. Go help someone. Be grateful for what we have, man. Turn off the news and all of the videos that are telling you how bad things are. We got it made here, man. We got it.
And go out and remind yourselves as agents, as loan officers, you are the facilitator of homeownership, a fundamental component and stepping stone to freedom, which, by the way, we're going to finish with our task. Enjoy your 4th of July. Enjoy Independence Day. And hopefully you have someone to hang out with on the beach. Let's put it that way.
I know I'll be there.
All right, then we'll catch up next week.